This is Food Talk. Welcome to Food Talk. Welcome to Monday morning. And we're really happy to be here. We're just talking about impending sunshine. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm joined by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. I got my apron on. I got my super grungy one. It's basement cleaning day. Woohoo!
Oh, no.
I know. But, I mean, it's supposed to rain, so it's better than doing it on one of the sunny days.
We're using up the last of our rain for a little bit, I think.
Yes, yes.
I think we're heading for some several days of sun, and I'm excited. But basement clean, I need to do a garage clean, and are both really grungy jobs.
Yeah.
Yipes.
What garages are less dank.
Well, you can open the big door.
Yeah.
If you have your dogs under control.
Yes. Yes.
Which is always an iffy business. I wonder what you've been cooking.
Let's see. I made a whole bunch of cookies. So I made a giant batch of chocolate chip cookie dough, and I forgot to put baking soda in. Oh, my gosh. 14 dozen.
14 dozen.
Isn't that the saddest thing?
Yes.
And I it's not something you can mix in after.
No.
You know, you'd have like all of it in one cookie and you'd be like, woohoo, the world's puffiest cookie. And then everybody else is so sad, you know. But I make my chocolate chip cookies thin and crispy. So they really don't need baking soda for a leavener, but they need it to brown. Baking soda makes things brown.
Yeah.
Anyway, I baked them all up because Dale. Oh, but they were just so pale and so pathetic. They were too brown around the edges. And then they were like just like the color of my like inner arm. They were just so sad. Fish belly white, you know.
Oh.
But they tasted good. But
yeah.
poor Dale. What's for dinner? I don't know. How about if I gave you a glass of milk and...
So go get your PJs on. I'll read you a story.
I'll tuck you in.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was tragic. I mean, tragic. When I do stupid stuff like that, it's just so avoidable, you know? If I was just paying attention.
Oh, focus.
You lost focus.
I wanted to be careful how I say this because I'm not the only old person in the world. And some people are sensitive about that.
Yes.
But I worry periodically that I'm losing my mind.
Yes.
And then I remember that I've always worried that I was losing my mind, you know, for decades.
Yes.
And you know, it just comes and goes. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I don't think it's real.
Yeah.
That's what.
Well, so. I know it's spring because I got an onion at the co-op, and the very next day it sprang its little green part on top.
You texted me a picture of your onion. It was
and it wasn't like it was a faulty onion or anything. It's just like it's spring, and they're like, okay, here we go.
Here
Woo-hoo!
We go. It's very exciting, I gotta say.
I know,
say.
For an onion. Woohoo!
Hey, speaking of exciting, I don't want to get too far into the show before I, on behalf of both of us, say thank you to everyone who called in and went online and donated to KMUN during Pledge Drive when Food Talk was on last.
It was so great. You know what? I think we might have 8 listeners.
I think we could actually be tipping over into double digits,
no.
But I don't. Oh, okay.
No.
That's so pie
don't
in the sky.
Don't be silly.
Sorry, I lost it there. See what I mean? I'm like periodically lose the plot altogether. But I want to say thank you to 3 very specific people who won our fabulous drawing.
Oh, yeah, for cookbooks.
For cookbooks.
Those were good cookbooks.
They were very good cookbooks. So I want to specifically say thank you to Patty from Gearheart.
She got that Sam Sifton one,
yeah.
So I am going to make friends with her.
Okay. Alone coming up. Elena from Astoria and Colleen from Cannon Beach. So we kind of covered Clatsop County there.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Really, thank you, everyone. We really appreciate it. And
thank you for those of you that donated. That was really nice.
Yes, and to everyone who supported the station during the pledge drive. Thank you so awfully much. Okay, so now back to cooking, though.
What have you been making?
Well, I made a stir fry and tried a different recipe for stir. You know how you make stir fry sauce kind of this?
Always
I do.
The same. Yeah,
always
yeah,
the same.
Yeah.
And this one was not markedly different, although I don't always use cornstarch to thicken it. It depends on what I'm doing.
Okay.
And the other thing is I very seldom put chicken broth in my stir sauce, but okay. My stir fry sauce. But I used this recipe from Nazdaravian, and it was cornstarch, soy, chicken broth, the standard garlic and ginger, honey or brown sugar. But I like the gloss of honey.
And so, I think it's delicious.
Yeah, yeah. Rice vinegar, nothing new there. Sesame oil, oyster sauce, and instead of the red pepper flakes, which they recommended, I used a little gochujang.
Num.
Yeah, it was delicious. But the other ingredient that I wanted to ask you about was, and it is called for in lots of Asian cooking, is mm-hmm. the Shaoxing wine.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I always just use dry sherry because that's what I have.
I have the only place I could find it around here was the restaurant supply store. So I have a gallon bottle of it.
And you know, you need a tablespoon at a time.
I know.
Well, I don't know the difference between the flavor profile difference between using dry sherry and that wine because I've never used that wine.
Oh, okay. So that wine, I think it's just it's dark, but it's not closer to rice wine in flavor, but it's not so like oh, good Lord, like figgy or pruny,
uh-huh.
you know, like,
or, like yeah, sherry. Like sherry
yeah.
yeah,
it doesn't have that at all.
That's probably why dry sherry is a reasonable substitute because it's got that dry thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And is it specifically a cooking wine?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, as far as I know, it's specifically a cooking wine to me because I've never seen anything else done with it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's poison if you drink it.
Well, I'm just using my really nice sherry for stir fry sauce. But, you know, it was only 2 tablespoons. So it's okay. Anyway.
Speaking of stir fries, I saw something kind of cool on the internet and I'd never seen anything like it. So it was an Asian restaurant, but it must have been a really big restaurant. And they had, instead of woks and people stir frying at woks, they had these things that look like candy tumblers or meat tumblers. So they look like a mini cement mixer.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just a barrel shape, but it's on its side. So the opening is facing you. And there's just one little fork in there that wheels around so that everything gets caught up in it and tossed around. And it's all hot. And then it just goes around in a circle. So it stir fries everything, just like if you were tossing it with your spatula, you know, in the wok, doink, doink, doink. Instead, it goes twirl, twirl, twirl.
Yeah.
And it was really ingenious because then somebody could just concentrate on what they were throwing in there. They weren't cooking also because it's a really fast process.
There's a
lot going on in a short amount of time. There's nothing more important that you do your mise en place with than stir fry, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just thought, oh, that's just so cool. I'd never seen anything like it. It wasn't super big or anything.
I wonder how the oil works with that. Do you not need it?
No, I think they just toss it in. I think that that they just toss it in. And then just like in a restaurant where they have the spigot and then you wash it out, they had like a hose and they squirted it in there and they brushed the wok brush around and then it tipped. And so they tipped it upside down and the water came out and then they went back to do the next dish.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool. Now I want one.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You knew that was coming.
Uh-huh. I wonder where in your fabulously huge kitchen you...
Oh, yeah. It's so gigantic. That's
true. So gigantic. Well, you're cleaning out the basement.
You know, right now... That's true. Right now, I mean, the kitchen is so small. So we put an espresso maker in there. And then so I have to find a place to put my onions. I mean, that's how small it is. And I just can't find any place to put my onions.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that sad?
Oh. Are you going to have to resort to the hanging basket thing? I hate the hanging basket thing.
No, too ugly.
Yeah, well, and yeah, exactly. Nothing like shreds of onion skin filtering down onto the counter.
Well, and then you know where we live. It's just like an invitation to spiders. Oh, she made that for us. Oh, that was so nice.
That was so nice. Oh, my gosh. Woo-hoo. Hey, you know what? I have the hardest time juggling scheduling for using a slow cooker. Like, I have a crock pot, but when I want to, I've been wanting to try this chicken and pasta recipe that is a slow cooker recipe. And wow. It takes like six. Yeah, I'll tell you about it in a minute.
Because okay, that sounds awful.
Yeah, well, you don't put the pasta in the slow cooker.
Okay, okay.
It's a six hour process in the cooker plus prep.
Okay.
And the way that our day naturally evolves, mm-hmm. I would need to start that at like noon.
Yeah.
And we're still at the breakfast table at noon. Often we are sitting down for breakfast at noon because of the way our day works.
Yeah.
And so I have had this chicken in the fridge for like 3 days or something now because I'm like, I thought it out.
Yeah.
And I can't get the timing right. So now I think I need to do it overnight.
Is your crock pot one where the crock comes out?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then what about just setting it up the night before and putting it in the fridge and then just taking it out of the fridge and putting it in the crock pot at noon?
Oh, my God. Because that's something I do a lot. Did I think of it? No, I did not think of it.
That is something that I do quite often.
I would have to do a little furniture rearranging in my fridge, but that would work.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, like my fridge, I don't know. It's like the Great Pyramids. You can't get a piece of paper between the bricks.
What? You only have one?
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, my God.
So I hadn't thought of that. Sorry.
Well, maybe I'll just wish for another refrigerator. Anyway, that is such a good idea. Aww. I will do that. And the reason I wanted to try this recipe is because I'm looking for it really quick because I had it pulled up here to talk to you about it. Read more. It's called slow cooker chicken ragu with herbed ricotta. It's okay. A Sarah Di Gregorio recipe.
Okay.
And it says lasagna vibe, but it's a spicy chicken and tomato sauce. Garnished with herbed ricotta, which sounds good to me.
Okay.
And as often is the case, I happen to have all the ingredients.
I got to tell you, I don't like chicken in the crock pot.
You don't?
It just gets so mealy because it's chicken and it's cooked so long.
Yeah, but thighs.
Yeah, they're better. It's true.
Yeah. Well, I'm committed.
Okay.
Or should be. So, anyway, it's chicken thighs and then the standard carrot, onion, you know, like
mirepoix.
Yeah, mirepoix. Garlic, tomato paste, olive oil, fresh herbs, red pepper flakes. Lately, I like other kinds of pepper flakes.
Spicy stuff.
Better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about red pepper flakes so much. Maybe okay on pizza.
I really like Aleppo pepper. I think it's delicious.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I really
Those flakes
do.
Flakes are really good.
And I like the gochujaru, the Korean pepper flakes.
And chili
flakes.
Crisp.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? What's his name? David Chang is trying to trademark the words chili crisp.
Oh, geez, David.
I mean, does he think he invented it?
No, he good just Lord. Is going to jump on the bandwagon. He knows he didn't invent it. But if I cannot believe it's not trademarked already.
But it's like, well, no, it's like ketchup. It's like trying to trademark the word ketchup or mustard. It's just not, it's a category of things. It's not.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh. Anyway.
Silly boy.
Ugh.
Really talented, but silly. Yeah.
So but speaking of like ragu type things, something I'll make every once in a while is just breaded zucchini that you fry in a pan and then we eat it with, you know, like a marinara sauce.
Uh-huh.
And so I did eggplant.
Yeah, yum. Yeah.
And I like eggplant and I like the skin.
Yeah, me too.
And so just did it the same way. Hey, you know how I remember how to bread things? Because sometimes I get mixed up. February. F, okay, think is flour. Good Lord, I almost forgot. F is flour, E is egg, and then B is breading. So panko or breadcrumbs.
Uh-huh.
So you do it in that order. But anyway, breaded them up. But it was a recipe in Alec Gernicelli's restaurant, home cooking or something like that. And anyway, after you fry them, though, you have to put them in the oven. And that was just too fussy. Because zucchini, you don't have to. And then it's nice and fresh. And so.
Yeah. And eggplant is oil thirsty.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I can't. Really. Maybe mushrooms are the only thing that beat them. And I don't even think mushrooms beat them.
No, I don't think quite. Yeah. Although.
They are the kings.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, mushrooms and butter, as far as I'm concerned, they can drink as much as they want.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's offensive what happens to the eggplant, but not the mushrooms.
Yeah. And also, you know, you can mitigate it with a little splash of wine if you're sauteing mushrooms, and everyone's happy. I want to take a quick sec and remind everyone that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN and North Coast Food Web. And if you haven't been to KMUN.org or NorthCoastFoodWeb.org, you're missing out on some really interesting stuff. So go there. You know, go shop around those websites and learn something. It's pretty cool.
I like what you said in your Hip Fish column. I think it was last month, where you said, you know, I never have cream of mushroom soup in my cupboard, but I always have mushrooms and cream.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I know. It's interesting. You know, that would be a very interesting thing to just find out what, you know, people you know, what do we always have?
Yeah.
Always have. Like, what are the top 10 things that you could always count on finding? And a long time ago, I mean, like a long time ago, probably the early 90s, when I had first moved back from being gone from the area for quite a while, I inherited a food column in the Seaside Signal.
Oh, yeah.
And because the person who had written that column for very, very many years, long, long time, Elna Furnish, fabulously wonderful person, was no longer writing the column.
Okay.
And so I wrote the column for a short period of time, but I realized when I started that the prevailing ingredients of featured in that column over the years, decades, were things like condensed mushroom soup, condensed chicken, cream of chicken soup, Jell-O.
Grandma cooking.
Yeah, right. And delicious. But I don't know why I just never.
It never caught on with you?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I love mushroom soup, but, you know, real cream and real mushrooms. And maybe that's the whole thing, is that you can put, however many mushrooms you want in there. And how
lots more than comes in the can.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with that. And that is a key ingredient, I think, of the classic green bean casserole, isn't it?
Yep. There's not too much going on there. I saw a recipe for pot stickers on the internet that made me laugh. It was a video. And so they were talking, and it was just, when things are written down, they're funny, you know, for translations. But when they're talking, I don't know, it just cracked me up. So it was a pot sticker recipe. What I was looking for is I see in Australian videos when they're making Asian dumplings that they have something in the pan. So it's a saute pan. They have something in the pan when they're browning the dumplings that forms like a crust on the bottom, and then the whole thing comes out in one piece.
Yeah, and I don't know, they just invert it onto a plate.
I don't know what that is. And I don't know how to do that. So I was trying to figure out how to do that. So I saw this pot sticker recipe, and it had all these different ingredients, but one of them was clean water, and one of them was edible meat.
Important.
I know, but I thought that was so funny. Ooh, what kind of meat is this? Edible?
I don't know if Dulcie's listening, but, you know, tap water is one of her ingredients. So clean water may be better even. Yeah. You never know.
So cute. Not bath water.
No. Not hose water.
But it looks like they're doing something with cornstarch. That makes sense.
Yes.
And, but I just don't know what it is, because just cornstarch isn't delicious. And so you'd think it would be delicious if that crunchy part, or they wouldn't do it. So I have yet to figure it out.
It's so beautiful when they invert the whole... I mean,
it's like a disc.
Yeah, it's a disc.
Yeah, with lumpy dumplings.
Now, I've seen that done countless times. I watched videos of people doing
Asian videos.
But I wasn't aware of anything other than oil in the bottom of the pan.
No, there has to be something to make that disc. I know there's something. It's got a different texture than the outside of the dumplings. It's crunchy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's thin. It's not like a pancake. I just got to figure out what they're doing.
Okay.
I just don't know.
Huh. It's a mystery. Now I'm just...
Dumpling mystery.
I know. I know what I want for lunch. Dumplings. Yeah. Any kind of dumplings.
Yeah.
I don't care. I do not care.
Hey, you're the one that taught me how to make, put it in the front of my brain to put jam in dressings.
Dressing, yeah.
Yeah, to make them sweeter. But I made some recently, and I put dates in there, and I ground it up in the in the blender. And then Aleppo pepper. We already talked about that. I love Aleppo pepper. But everything was the same, except I put some dates in there and Aleppo pepper. It was an idea that I got from that Justine, whose last name she never says, so I don't know how to say it.
Duaron. But could you spell it? Because I know that one of our book winners, Elena, was saying, could Linda please spell that name?
Okay, so I'm guessing.
Okay.
Because I don't have it written down here, but I think it's Dioron, Dioron, Justine. I think that that's it. It's pretty close to that. They might be in a different order.
Okay.
But yeah, she made a date and an Aleppo pepper vinaigrette. And then, of course, it was just something that flew through my computer, and then I didn't keep track of it. So then I just added those to a dressing, and it was really good.
And did you just put that on a tossed green salad?
Yeah. And so I actually made it twice. The first time I just chopped up the dates, but that was stupid. Don't do that. And the second time I blended them, and it was way better. Because I think she just chopped it up, and that was just a stupid kind of gooey mess. I mean, you know how dates just aren't a happy thing to chop.
Yeah.
They're just like, we love the knife. Oh, the knife is so beautiful. We will live here forever.
I know. And you're scraping them off, trying not to get cut. And
also, and then you just got a big gob of dates instead of a date.
Yeah. It's very much, I imagine, like, dicing slugs. I don't know.
Oh.
Hey, I just found Justine, and I'm going to spell it for Elena. So it's Justine, Justine. And her last name is capital Dioron. And her job is listed as internet personality.
Oh.
But she's a cook, right?
Yeah, yeah. I really like her, and I really like her recipes.
All right.
I've been putting yogurt in recipes, I've been putting yogurt in dressings, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just trying to mix up my dressing game because I am in a dressing rut, so I'm trying to, get my way out of there with the tow truck of different ingredients.
Yeah. I'm in the mood for, right now, greens are so fabulously wonderful coming on, with great enthusiasm. I'm in the mood for a hot dressing over, like a wilted green salad, spinach and or leaf lettuce or, a combo.
I just wait a little later till the lettuce starts bolting and I'm like, we can still eat this.
Yeah, right.
And that's when I do the hot dressings.
Yeah.
He'll never know.
They were a little tough, but now they're all wilty.
What?
Oh, gosh. I made lox lota recently.
I don't even know what that is.
It's scalloped potatoes with smoked salmon instead of ham or whatever.
Nice.
Yeah. It's Scandinavian. And I always think that I'm making lox lota-ish recipe because I don't really know exactly how the traditional one goes, but I just layer actual lox because I like it to be soft and thin with potatoes and sweet onions, and then pour a bechamel over the whole thing and bake it.
What a great idea. Do you put more than one layer of salmon in there?
Yeah, I usually do, and I usually cut it into like bite-sized pieces so that when you're spooning it out, you're not like dragging.
Oh, okay.
What I mean?
Yep.
It's hard to cut through that with a serving spoon, so I just do it that way. But it's good.
It sounds really good.
It's something different with scalloped potatoes, which scalloped potatoes are one of my fallback things to do when I just can't figure out what to do.
Yeah.
I always have potatoes and onions.
Have cream.
yeah, right. Have cream.
And mushrooms, but they don't go in there. Well, I had some salmon in some, what do you call that, leek soup in a restaurant.
Ooh.
And that was really good, a little bit of smoked salmon.
Yeah.
And so, see, we're doing the smoked salmon week, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think it's always good. And it's a in my breakfast rotation, bagels, cream cheese,
yeah.
salmon and lox.
Lox, yeah.
I mean, lox and onions.
Yep. Dill. Yep. Capers.
I like all of that stuff. Tom likes smoked salmon, cream cheese, and sweet onion, period.
He's wrong.
I know. Because I like it with sliced tomatoes, cucumbers, thin sliced cucumbers, capers. Put everything on there.
I really like capers on it.
Yeah.
So, in this restaurant, in this soup, they also had like a kale crunchy thing.
Oh.
So, you know how to make kale chips. You
yeah.
just take the leaves and you get them just ever so slightly glossy with oil and then you cook them. But this, I think this it was more substantial. And I think what they did is that they did the same thing, but then they put some kind of a weight, like another pan or something on the kale. And they might have like folded it up because it was too thick just to be one layer.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or layered different leaves on top of each other and then made like a substantial crunchy. Like it was sturdy. It was really good, but it was crunchy and it was salty. It was really good. I might try to do that.
It's kale origami.
Yeah. Things to do with kale in the Pacific Northwest.
Susan just came in and dropped off a note. I had deja vu of Pledge Drive. But
oh, yeah.
The note says Lox Loto was great. So, okay, there you go.
I wonder what that means.
Well, spring. I have been enjoying French breakfast radishes. I love breakfast radishes.
Hey, have you had any Springer salmon?
No.
Yeah.
I have
Just
some.
Just speaking of spring.
But
oh,
I have
do
no.
you?
Yeah. And I have
friends?
Some. I recently got some more traditionally smoked salmon that's fresh, not frozen, and locally caught. And
so the kind that's kind of pickled and smoked? No?
No. It's just smoked, but it's like a light smoke. So it's not dry.
Okay,
you
I
know,
like that a lot.
Where you can't, it's not lox, but you can't break chunks off of it. You know? It's kind of in between. And it's just like vacuum sealed. I got it from a local fisher person, and I'm trying to decide the perfect thing to do with it because it looks so luscious. I don't
have
wanna...
a party. Invite Linda.
Oh, I could do that, and we could just like get out a box of crackers and some cream cheese and decide what to do with that.
We won't have onions, so Tom doesn't come.
We're not sharing.
No.
Oh my gosh. Yipes. Well, I have on my list, I've been cooking for a friend. And so I'm thinking green beans are beautiful right now. And I've gotten a few batches of green beans that are really skinny and gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I really like just a saute of those. Throw in some cherry tomatoes just as the green beans are getting the way you like them, and then pull it out and sprinkle feta on it. It's a good, quick, beautiful veg, and I think that it's also something you can eat a little bit of and then put in the fridge and then enjoy it again and again. So I'm going to do that in celebration of spring. Holy cow, we're out of time.
Oh, no.
Really? Stop me one of these days.
It's been great talking to all of you. All eight of you. It's so exciting that there's eight.
We have time for half a verse.
No,
we don't. Have a really wonderful spring. See you in a couple weeks. Thanks so much for tuning to KMUN. Stay tuned.
Eat your vegetables.